I'm going to read. From Daniel chapter 10, and I'm going to read the whole of the chapter, which is 21 verses. So it's not a massively long chapter. But the title of the message today is "Prayer: The Key to Victory in Spiritual Warfare." The title is "Prayer: The Key to Spiritual Victory." Sorry, the key to victory in spiritual warfare. And for us again to kind of look at and remind ourselves that we are in a spiritual battle, because sometimes actually we can just look at what's going on around us and we can be confused actually by why things are going on, or why am I going through this problem or issue. And sometimes we forget actually again, we have to remind ourselves again that we are in a spiritual battle, and there's more to the world around us that we see with our physical eyes, that actually there is a spiritual and very powerful dimension that is going on. But thanks be to God that we are on the side of the one that has won the victory. Amen. And that Jesus has won the victory for us upon the cross, and which is wonderful. So we're secure. We're in a place of security. Yet the battle does rage. We're in a place of victory, security, yet the battle does rage on. But I'm just amazed, just at going through this, just preparing for today, just how our prayers can make a difference, not just in our families, our personal lives, but in our nation, but also in the world. That God uses our prayers to make significant differences. And so actually a Christian is never just somebody who is just of no significance. Actually, every Christian is a person of great significance. Why? Because you can pray. And God listens and bow down. And when he sees faith, when he sees somebody crying out to him, he longs to answer that prayer. So nobody needs to feel that they are insignificant or of no worth. Each and every one of us can pray and make a difference. Are you with me? So it's awesome. It's exciting. Okay. So if we can just turn to Daniel in your Bibles, or scroll on your phones, or whatever you do. Thank you. And just want to read this this verse, these chapters, this chapter to you. So in the third year, are you there? Okay. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had an understanding in the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, were mourning for 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Euphrates. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms like the feet of burnished bronze in color. And the sound of his words were like a great, was the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made my knees tremble, and the palms made me tremble on my knees and on the palm of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. And while he was still speaking his word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel. That's good, isn't it? That's good. Do not fear, Daniel, For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I've been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. This is verse 15. And when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face towards the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrow have overwhelmed me, and I've retained no strength. For how can this servant of the Lord speak with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is there any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And he said, Let the Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And I now must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. Okay, I'm going to finish there. I think this is an amazing scripture because we see the physical world and the spiritual world come together. And it's an amazing truth to see. It's like the veil was torn away. That suddenly we're seeing the activity of the spiritual world impacting directly upon Daniel's prayers and Daniel's life. And I, as I said, I think sometimes, you know, there was a lot in the 70s and 80s about spiritual warfare. And that was the thing that was going on all the time. And it was all about the spiritual warfare prayer. And actually, we kind of don't tend to major upon that very much. I've not heard very much about that in recent years. I don't know about you. But I think it's important for us to recognize, actually, that there's a very real spiritual world around us. And actually, in understanding that and thinking about that, not that we need to be afraid of it, we just need to be aware that actually can add an insight into kind of what's going on in our lives, but give us an accuracy in our prayers as well, as we are targeting things that are going on, not just from the physical that we see around us, but also the spiritual. So it's amazing to think, as you read here, it talks about angels. Angels appeared to Daniel. I mean, I don't know about you whether you think very much about angels, but, you know, God has his ministering spirits that even that in the spiritual realm he's still using today. And, you know, we don't worship angels. We don't major upon angels. But actually, angels are a part of what the Bible says that we should be recognizing as part of the spiritual realm that we are in. What does it say in Hebrews 13, verse 2? It says, Don't forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people will have entertained angels. Wow. How awesome is that? It's been one or two times in my life where I've actually, something's happened. I've needed something desperately, and somebody's turned up and done something and then disappeared. And I thought, I wonder if that was an angel. Have you ever had that experience? A few people nodding. And how that happens, I don't know. But actually, I don't think we necessarily should be surprised or shocked by it. I think actually it's something that we should think, wow, okay, God, I'm recognizing this unseen spiritual world that's going on, that as a Christian I've become part of, and that God wants to use me in, if that if that makes sense. Okay, so getting back to the scripture in Daniel. So as a result of Daniel's prayer, God does two things for him. The first thing that he does is that God sends ministering spirits to come to Daniel to comfort and to reassure him. So this is the result of his prayers. Okay, he's praying for something, but as a result of his prayers, God sends a ministering angel. Now, I'm not saying as soon as we get into the prayer room that all of a sudden we're going to start to see angelic visitations. But, you know, as a result of his prayers, God was moved to bring some breakthrough in his situation. And one of the first things that the message that came from God was, don't be, can you say that? Say, don't be afraid. Why don't you just turn to the person, smile at them, do the English laugh, this is slightly awkward. Say, don't be afraid. You know, I think that's a message that all of us need to hear. I think as a message for people here today, somebody here today, don't be afraid. You know, it's been the message right from the beginning of time that God delivered to his people. Don't be afraid. Take courage. So I want to be that messenger this morning to tell you, don't be afraid. Take courage. Ephesians 6, verse 12. This is, I'm sure, is going to be a verse that we're going to hear and read a lot about. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So each of us, as a Christian, we're in a battle. Yes? But you don't need to fear. Do not be afraid. Don't fear. Take courage. Use the weapons that you've been given. Stand firm. Trust me. Be obedient to what I'm telling you to do. And you will see, in God's time, the victory. It's wonderful. Faith and fear can't reside together in the same heart and at the same moment. So I really think God wants to encourage us today to leave fear and worry behind and take hold of the faith that he has for every single one of us. And then to pray and to put him to work. You know, because we can't do anything, can we? We're just so weak and, you know, but somebody mentioned, I think it was John, was saying, you know, in our weakness, his power is made perfect. So the weak, the less actually we think that we've got the ability to do something, and the more we invite God to come and work through us, the greater his strength is going to be seen. So God wants to use weak people. Praise the Lord for that. Are you happy about that? He wants to use weak people. Praise God. And but in our weakness, his power is made. I can do nothing, so God, you fill me afresh. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your power. Fill me with everything I need. And let me be a danger to the enemy in doing that. It's not about me, what I can do. It's all about him, isn't it? If ever it's about us, I tell you, we are finished. We are finished. But it's all about him. Okay. So the first thing that the angel came to do is he gave a message, don't be afraid. So I'm telling you today, as we said, don't be afraid. Fantastic. The second thing that the angel came to do was to deliver the answer to Daniel's prayer. So let me just look at and something that initiated, you know, it's all, God loves faith, doesn't he? And when he sees faith, God loves to act. And there was a specific thing that actually, I believe, really moved the heart of God to come and to appear to Daniel in such a significant way. And it's, if we go to 10, verse 2 and 3, chapter 10. So it says, at the time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. So there was something that was on his heart that really was a problem to him, because you don't just mourn for no reason. He says, I mourned for 3 weeks and I ate no choice food, no chocolate, No croissants in the morning, no kind of waffles or whatever. I ate no choice, no meat or wine touched my lips. And I used no lotions. That was quite, I thought, wow, but a man using lotions and potions. I mean, that's for the ladies, but not a guy. But anyway, this guy was into lotions and potions. So he even, as part of his fasting, stopped all that moisturizing. And I forsook all of that until 3 weeks were over. And I was thinking about, okay, so why was he mourning? And, you know, Daniel was mourning because his people, the Jews, were in captivity. And they were in Babylon and in Persia, and they were there they've been oppressed as a people. And it came to a point where actually they then were now able to decide where they were going to resettle. And they could have left the oppression of where they were to go back to Jerusalem. Yet the Jewish people were choosing to stay in that place where they had been brought back to in slavery. And so they were in this place of slavery, which wasn't their homeland, but they had an opportunity now to leave that place and to go back to their homeland. Yet many were choosing to stay in the place that had become familiar to them. And Daniel was so moved and grieved by this that he mourned the fact that they'd become complacent. And I was thinking about this, thinking, oh my goodness, isn't that a lesson for me and for us? How we can become so complacent. And I'm not looking at anybody, I'm talking about myself. One of the biggest struggles I find personally, if I'm completely honest, is to remain on fire for Jesus. Because we live in a country and especially in a town that is so easy. So easy to be a Christian. Nobody's oppressing us. It's so easy just to fall into an easy lifestyle. Isn't it? Do you want anybody else identify with that? Yeah. And this was Daniel's heart. He was like, you've fallen in love. You've fallen in love with the wrong world. You've fallen in love with a country actually that was your oppressor. And I was like, oh Lord, I so want to remain hot and on fire and uncompromising for you. And this was the thing that just was eating up Daniel. So I want to ask a question. Do you have a burden for Horsham, for England, for the lost, for the nations of the world? Because, you know, a burden, and when I say a burden, I don't mean an oppressive burden, but a longing. Because that's often where prayer starts. That God will put on your heart a burden for something that will cause you to go and pray. And it will be something that will move you to go and pray, maybe when you've never prayed before. Like that. Maybe it's because someone's sick, or someone needs a breakthrough, or someone needs a miracle. But what are the things that are on your heart that you are wrestling with, or you see that there's a need for? Are you burdened for your family, for your friends? Are you burdened to the point where you would fast? I'm not going to ask how many people have fasted recently. Okay, but actually fasting, prayer and fasting actually is a good discipline to do every now and again. And I do it every now and again, probably more kind of, not so frequently, but I do it. It's a good discipline to do. And it is because of a particular burden or issue that I know that I need a breakthrough in. You understand what I'm saying? It's a good thing to do, actually, because it really does focus your mind. And you know, when you do that, you know, God listens. He bowed down. It's like he bends down his ear and says, yes, I want to answer that prayer. You know, talking of Daniel's mourning, you know, we are not of this world, are we? And we have to keep reminding ourselves we're passing through, we're aliens in this world. Horsham is not your home. You may have been born and bred in Horsham. You may have just arrived. It doesn't matter where you're from. Actually, Horsham is not your home. Heaven is our home. And we're passing through. This world is not our home. We're passing through. So, guys, I just want to encourage you, you know, just try not to, if you can, get too comfortable and, you know, complacent. But stir yourself up. You know, keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus and what he's got for you. And that is, I would say, the number one, one of the number one battles that we have here in Horsham is remaining hot and on fire for Jesus. Okay, second point. Prayer doesn't stop until the answer comes. One of the things that Daniel prayed, and it says that he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And in verse 12 it says, "Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." Interesting, because God didn't answer his prayers because he fasted. It says, actually, I heard your prayer the first moment that you began to pray. Because somehow, sometimes we think we're twisting the hand of God by, well, I am fasting and praying, therefore you will answer. And I don't think that's how it works. Now, God heard his prayer right from the very first time that he started to pray. He didn't just say, I've prayed once, or I've prayed for a week, and I've done my duty. Now I'm going to stop praying. But one of the lessons we can learn is that Daniel continued to pray until he saw the answer. Now, sometimes there's a time to pray for a season, and then we hear the voice of God very clearly saying, "Okay, that's enough." But actually, I think we need to be careful. But I also think that sometimes we don't get the answers to prayer because we give up sometimes too quickly praying, because we don't get the answer the following day. Well, it can't be in God's will then that God wants this for me. Do you understand what I mean? Just because the answer might not come immediately doesn't necessarily mean it's not in God's will that we continue to pray until we hear God say otherwise. I think that's an important lesson for us. And I was thinking about Daniel. I mean, going into the lion's den was a serious test of faith, wasn't it? So I think his heart, his love for God, his willingness to persevere, his persistence, I think must have come out of a genuine relationship with God. He knew God's heart. He knew and trusted and loved God. And so I think because of that, he was able to persist, knowing that he knew that his God was going to come through for him. So one of the things I'm hoping that we can gather as we go into this series about prayer is about experiencing God and deepening our love and our relationship for God. Because a deep trust in God would allow us to persevere. Because we know that God's not going to let us fall flat on our face. He's not going to leave us. So as we highlight prayer and as we look at this, I'm really praying that God's going to deepen that, our personal relationship with him. Okay, so we read that in 10 verse 12, that the angel reports to Daniel that his prayer was heard the first day that he prayed. But the answer didn't come straight away. So he kept praying, it says, for 3 weeks. And he prayed and he said, "God, give me understanding. Give me understanding in this journey that I'm going on." And it was as if God was quiet, but he continued to pray and to cry out for God, to God. So for 3 weeks he was asking, he was wrestling with God, he was weeping. He knew that God was faithful to him, but he was unaware that there was this battle that was going on. I think sometimes, as we said, sometimes we're praying and we're like, "God, aren't you hearing me? What is going on? Why aren't you delivering me from this thing?" I mean, I know that I can pray and it should happen straight away. But actually, my experience is that prayer doesn't always work like that, does it? Sometimes the prayer comes instantly. And sometimes the answer to prayer, takes some time to manifest. But in that process, don't give up. Don't be afraid. Don't doubt. Press in prayer. Keep on going. In faith that God is going to answer that you're crying out to him for. You know, prayer, God doesn't not answer prayer because he's reluctant. Well, you must, somehow, God, you're not answering my prayer because you don't want me to answer my prayer. I don't think God does that. Sometimes prayer takes a time to be answered because there's a battle that's going on. It's not that God's reluctant. I think sometimes actually as well in the process of us praying and not receiving an answer, he's working in that. And I think, you know, John's testimony is, you know, I'm going through a battle, going through a difficult time, but I'm going to trust you. And he's working stuff in our character, even through that process. I think actually God is very interested in answering our prayers. And I don't know about you, but we've seen I think if we went around the room, all of us could say so many answers to prayer that we've had. So many. And if you're in a place of needing a breakthrough or a prayer, hold in there. Don't be afraid. Continue to pray. Hear what God is saying to you about the situation. Will Murray's got a saying, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Persist in prayer. You know, Jesus has won the victory for us on the cross, hasn't he? He's overcome everything. Every principality and power is overcome. The victory is assured for us. Absolutely. But just because the battle is won doesn't mean that us as Christians, we just put down our weapons and just say, well, that's it. Actually, although the victory has won, Jesus has won the victory, we as Christians use the weapons that God has given us. We continue to fight and to do what God's calling us to do with the understanding that the victory is already won. So we know that Jesus has overcome. We know that there is no doubt. But the enemy is very stubborn. And he keeps trying. But we've been given spiritual weapons to use against the enemy's schemes that come against us. And you know what? The enemy will come, won't he? I mean, the enemy does come prowling around, trying to push your buttons, trying to find the weak spots. Again, we don't need to be afraid. We just need to be aware of the enemy that is coming around. And because actually we can say that, well, you know, he won't. But the answer is that the reality is that he does. And each of us have got weak spots that we need to be aware of and strengthen so that when the enemy comes, that we can stand and that we don't fall because we're in a spiritual battle. So as I said before, don't give up. Just because a prayer isn't answered straight away doesn't mean that God's will isn't for it to be answered. And I believe that many of us maybe have stopped praying and not seeing the answer to prayers that God's wanted to actually break through. So keep praying, persist in prayer. Matthew 7, verse 7. Have you got that up there? Yeah. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And the way that it is written is ask and keep asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. So it's not just a one-off, but it's a keep on Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on doing it. It's something that we do over and over and over again. So let me ask you, is there an area in your life that you've stopped praying for because you haven't got an answer for it? And there may be big issues and big things that we are seeking God for, but I want to just encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up on God. Keep praying. You know, the enemy is out to stop the church advancing, to stop our prayers being answered. And actually, we have to recognize that there is that spiritual enemy that is coming against us. Satan is coming to fight against us to keep our prayers from being answered. And the devil is real and he wants your life miserable. But Jesus has come to set us free. How awesome is that? I mean, he can wage war and do all that he wants, but we are secure in the love and the victory of Jesus. But let's keep ourselves in that place and recognize that there is an enemy that is coming against us, but recognize actually that we have very powerful spiritual weapons that has been given to us to counteract what the enemy comes. And in the story, we read that the angel comes and he says that I'm going to fight. And there is definitely a warfare language that we read in the passage. And it's interesting that it talks about the enemy places principalities and powers over areas. And I think that, you know, that's still the same today, that there are principalities, there are influences over areas, over nations and over different countries. And that puts a different edge and understanding to when we start to pray. Because it isn't just, well, if it's your will, Lord, would you let something happen? But actually, it's targeting our prayers. It's targeting and enforcing God's will and purpose and plan and releasing that over a particular person or area or issue. You understand what I'm... When we understand that there is a spiritual realm and a spiritual dynamic to what we're seeing going on in the world, our prayers can be more targeted and more effective. We're told that actually we're to pray for nations and pray for leaders. And I think when we understand that as well, we understand that, you know, our prayers are going to make a difference, you know, globally. That's why we need to pray for Theresa May, and we need to pray for our government in the UK with all that they're going through, because the enemy's got an agenda about what he wants to do. But God's got a plan of righteousness, of blessing, of freedom, of bringing this country into a place of real blessing. And, you know, I think I am absolutely convinced that us as Christians can make a difference through the prayers that we make. Little CLC, just me here. No, you can make a massive difference. Our church can make a massive difference through our prayers as we lift those prayers to God, and God moves on behalf of righteousness and what he wants to do. Ephesians 6 verse 11, put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the evil forces in the heavenly realms. And pray on the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So we've been given an incredible arsenal of spiritual weapons to use. And Andrew, in a couple of weeks' time, is going to speak specifically upon the armor of God. There's another verse that I love, which says, submit to God, resist the devil. Come on. But you know, if you understand and recognize the spiritual realm, so we're to what? Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. James. I think it's James 4. I love that scripture. But, well, is there really a devil? Yes, there is. We need to submit to God, resist him when he comes. Verses, and we love verses like this. 1 John 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. These are all true scriptures. Things that we need to encourage ourselves with. As I said, the enemy will come around to poke your button. Fear, temptation, offense, unforgiveness, whatever is an area of weakness in your life. Stand against those things. Let God make you whole. So that when he comes to find that weak area in your life, that actually we aren't going to be crippled by it. Second Corinthians 10, we can just go there. Second Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. I can't see the clock there. Okay. Second Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. Have you got that, Anya? Well, I can just read it. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it and bring it into the obedience of Christ. Thank you. So just quickly, just as I'm just going to draw to a close in the next couple of minutes. A stronghold is a fortress where an enemy is entrenched. So in spiritual terms, that could be an area in our lives where the enemy has discerned a weakness. And a stronghold might be an obsession, a fixation on a thought. It might be a deep-seated attitude. It might be a thought pattern. It could be a fear, a worry, hate, lust, aggression. It could be a whole lots of different things. But, you know, often I think sometimes we have areas in our lives, addictions or areas in our lives that are a result of a stronghold that the devil has erected in our lives. You know, that I love the fact that the cross is the ultimate power that's been released upon this world. Jesus has come to set the captives free. So, you know, whatever issues we're struggling with or facing, we can actually find freedom, can't we? True freedom through Jesus. And I think actually those spiritual weapons that God has given to us, that God wants to use those to pull down those areas, those strongholds that maybe we've got in our lives, but as we see around us, in the world around us, there are spiritual strongholds that the enemy has established that he wants pulled down in the name of Jesus through our prayers. Okay, so prayer is a powerful spiritual weapon. And I'm hoping that over this series that we're going to be doing is that to bust open some issues and struggles that we've had. I think there are some people that struggle with the whole idea about what prayer is, of how to pray, of what to pray, of how to concentrate on praying, or even how to prioritize prayer. If we're real, some of us have struggled with those basic things. So I'm hoping that we're going to be able to give some tips, some advice. And I'm hoping that also through this series that we're going to understand that the battles and the things that we're going through aren't always as a result of just of the things that we're seeing around us, but of the spiritual realm that is warring. That is warring. But we don't need to be afraid. We've got heaven's resources to come and to see that breakthrough. So just a couple of things. When you pray, have a heart, have a burden, have something that drives you to pray. What is that thing? Have you got an objective of what to pray for and how to pray? Daniel was mourning because he was so burdened about the state of his people. Maybe a good place to start is to say, God, where's my heart? Have I become complacent? Have I become satisfied? Have I just become lukewarm? And maybe you're on fire for God and fantastic. But this is a good encouragement for us. It certainly is for me. Recognize that we're in a spiritual battle and that there is supernatural activity going around all around us. And as we pray and release faith, those things are going to be dealt with in the name of Jesus. Keep on until you get an answer. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Don't be afraid. Keep on praying until you see the answer or until you hear God speak to you. Recognize that sometimes prayer is difficult because there's an enemy that's coming to resist our prayers and to put you off praying. Recognize, oh, why is it so difficult? Because you're in a battle. Why is it so hard? Because there's an enemy that's coming to actually stop the people of God praying. And start bombing the strongholds with your prayers of faith. And you know, those things are going to start to break. Those things are going to start to explode. And we're going to see God breaking things open and moving powerfully through our prayers. This is what we are encouraging and stirring up, and we want to see taking place. So like I said, the prayer room, it's not so that we can just get people to fill the prayer room. We want people to be praying in their homes, praying at work, seeing the breakthroughs that God wants to bring through each and every one of us. Amen.